The title this morning, it's I Can Only Imagine. And obviously there's been that song out for a couple of years now by Mercy Me, which I really love. I think they're my favorite group right now. They have some great songs out. But that's one that really caught my imagination and kind of prompted me to pursue this message this morning. So a great question is this as we begin, what is our imagination? What even is imagination? What is that? What does it mean? I think it's creative power. I think it's also a mental image that we form. We can see it with our mind's eye. And it's also a creation of the mind. It's a creation of our thoughts. In fact, it begins as a thought in our mind before we can form maybe a picture in our minds as we imagine the things that we're thinking about. I can think of some of our great inventors that they had a thought process of what they wanted to do maybe to help mankind. And they created light bulbs, and they created television cameras, and they created, all kinds of things, computers, and all the different things that have been created all down through the centuries, going all the way back to the wheel, as they invented that or whatever. And so but it took imagination to come up with all of these things. You use your imagination every day, whether you realize it or not. But it begins with a thought. God tells us in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, and we just sang it. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways," God says. "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." I'm glad that God is God, and I'm not, and you're not. Amen? I'm glad that God is God, because He is so much deeper than we are. He's so much wiser. He knows so much more. He's the one that spoke the word, and things came into existence. The planets, the stars, the moon, the sun, all the different things that we enjoy, there had to be a master designer. God must have an awesome imagination. If you look at plant life, if you look at animal life on this planet, God is a God of variety and infinite creativity and design and imagination. Amen? Think about that. Think about it. Look around us. His ways are so much higher than our ways, His thoughts than our thoughts. But imagination is also the act or power of forming mental images of what is not actually even present. Think about that. Your imagination, you form mental images of what is not even there. It's not even in existence yet, and yet you begin to think about how. Well, I wonder how that could work. I wonder how we could make that or create that or come up with that. And, of course, now we've got 3D printers that can print whatever almost you want these days. But imagination is also the act or power of creating mental images, not just forming mental images of something you've never seen, but of creating mental images of what has never been actually experienced, something that you haven't even experienced, but yet you are creating a mental image of something that you may want to experience, something new, something different that nobody's ever come up with before. One of these days, our own Alan Lynch is going to come up with something that nobody has ever come up with before. And it's going to make him a multimillionaire. And I hope he tithes. But also, it's also the act or power of creating new images or ideas by combining previous experiences. So you can use your imagination to take different experiences in your past and create something new out of that. And God, I think, does that with us all the time. So dream with me this morning as we go through this message and begin to imagine your dreams, the dreams that maybe God has planted in you, the giftings you have, the talents you have that God has given you and gifted you with. Begin to imagine, what can God do with this? How can God use this talent of mine? How can God use these ideas, these images that I'm getting in my head, these things that for some reason I'm just wanting to pursue in my life and with my life? Graduates, you need to really dream with me this morning. We're going to be sharing a message with you on the 19th for our graduates. But you need to dream. You need to plan. You need to have goals, visions. Let the Lord impress you with His dreams and imaginations for your life. Just imagine what God can do with your life, all of us. Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21, Paul tells us this: "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine." No matter what you come up with in your head, no matter how big your dream is, no matter what you imagine, your vivid imagination comes up with, he says that God can do more for you and me than anything we could ever ask or think or even imagine. But it's according to His power that's at work within us. Don't ever think that it's you. Don't ever think, oh, well, look at what I've done. Look at what I've achieved. Look how great I've become or how great I am. No, it's always His power that's at work within us. It's nothing about us. It's all for the glory of God. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. It's His power that's at work within each one of our lives, at work in our minds. That's where it all begins. Chris Tigreen adds this. He says, "Our imagination is a tricky thing when it leads us off on tangents into unreal fantasies or just wishful thinking." We've got to guard that imagination because it's a tool. It's a God-given tool that God has given us. But it's not good when we allow it to lead us off onto tangents and unreal fantasies or just wishful thinking. You know, we had a prayer request turned in from one of the students at Crenshaw School this week. I had to laugh at it. He says, "I want to be a billionaire. Pray that God will make me a billionaire." Not a millionaire, a billionaire. So he's imagining, what am I going to do with this $1 billion that God's going to give me, you know? But that's just wishful thinking. That's just an unrealistic fantasy that that kid has. But God gave us the ability to imagine for a reason. Our minds don't always conjure up fiction. You know, you think of some of the Star Wars episodes, or you think of some of the sci-fi stuff that we've seen over the years. Somebody had to imagine that. Somebody had to create that. The Jedi and all these different things, the different characters in all those movies. Somebody had to imagine that. But that's fiction. And our imagination doesn't always come up with just fiction. The imagination is a God-given blessing when it helps us picture what is true. What is true? God wants to lead and guide us into all truth. So let's look at this. Jesus told his disciples in John 16, beginning at verse 12, he says, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear." This was a hard time for Jesus and the disciples. Jesus knows he's about to go to Jerusalem for the last time. He knows he's about to give his life on the cross. And he says, "I got so much that I want to tell you. I've got so much I want to impart to you, but you can't handle it right now. You're not ready for it yet. You can't handle it." And so he says, "But when he, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth comes, he, the Holy Spirit, will guide you into all truth." So again, what Chris Tigreen just said, the imagination is a God-given blessing when it helps us picture what is true. So the Holy Spirit helps our imaginations because he leads us to truth. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will lead and guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you, he will show you what is yet to come. And he will prepare us for it. I don't know what the future holds for us individually, or for us as couples, or as families, or as a family of God here at New Life. I don't know what the future holds for Orlando, or for Florida, or the United States, or for the world. We have pictures and glimpses of it in prophecy in the Bible, but we don't know the timing of all these things. We can only imagine. We can only guess. We can only rely upon the Holy Spirit to give us the grace in the moment that we live to be more than conquerors through Him that loves us. And so the problem is, though, unfortunately, mankind has not always pursued truth with our imaginations. The Holy Spirit will lead and guide us into all that truth, but sometimes our imaginations don't go in that direction. And that's when we've got to rein it in and we've got to get control. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Genesis 6:5 tells us this. It's a great example of how the imagination was not always good. God saw in Genesis 6:5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And you know what? We look around today, things haven't changed, have they? The wickedness of mankind in the world around us, those that don't know Jesus, they're getting worse and worse. They're not getting better. The imaginations, the crimes, the thought processes of some of the criminals will just blow your mind. There's a program that's been on for years, Criminal Minds. And it's imagination of the criminals. Their minds come up with all kinds of stuff. Mass shootings, school shootings, church shootings, a synagogue shooting, just on Friday for Passover. All kinds of things going on all around us. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And that every imagination of the thoughts, that's where it begins, of his heart, of his mind, was only evil continually. And we still see that in those that are lost. The imaginations are corrupt. They're perverse. We see people, proponents of perverted sex in our world today. The homosexual agenda, all these things. The imagination of the thoughts of the minds of the world are only evil continually. And guess who's feeding that? It's the enemy of our soul. It's the devil himself that's feeding the wicked, evil imaginations of all the folks in the world around us that are lost. God has this in Isaiah 65. He says, "All day long I've held out my hands to an obstinate people who walk in ways not good, pursuing their own imaginations, not going after what God wants for their lives, but what do they want for their lives, their own imaginations." And in verse 3, "a people who continually provoke me to my very face." The children of Israel constantly did that to God. In their wilderness wanderings throughout the history of the nation of Israel, there have been those that continually provoke God to his face. They're walking, they're obstinate, and they're walking after their own dreams and visions and plans and imaginations. The dreams and imaginations of their own heart, their own mind. In Ezekiel chapter 13, false prophets are condemned by God for prophesying out of their own imagination rather than hearing and speaking the word of the Lord. The false prophets of Ezekiel and also in Jeremiah, he speaks of that as well. It was prevalent in the nation of Israel in parts of their history. And those prophets would prophesy what the people wanted to hear. Oh, you're going to be blessed. Oh, things are going to be great. You'll be fine. Oh, God's going to do wonderful things for you. And if they prophesied good stuff, then they got blessed in return. They, kind of like the televangelists of today or some of the prophetic stuff going on today. Oh, yeah, we'll give you a good word. We'll give you a kind word. We'll tell you how wonderful your life is going to be. Just send that $100 bill and you'll get a $100 blessing. You send a $20 bill, you only get a $20 blessing. And so they do that, They did it back then, they do it today. Mankind hasn't changed. False prophets, and the Lord says in the last days, the false prophets are going to increase. And they said people are going to have itching ears. They're going to gravitate to the ones that say what you want to hear. And I think we see that a lot happening today. But they prophesied their own imaginations. They weren't hearing from God. They weren't speaking the word of God. They were just saying what they knew people wanted to hear. Prophesy. In fact, the people even said in Scripture, the Scripture says that the people said, "Prophesy smooth things to us. Tell us nice things. Don't tell us the hard stuff. Don't tell us that judgment's coming. Don't tell us that we're not supposed to sin. Tell us nice things, pleasant things. We want, because God's nice. God's a good guy, right? He loves us, and he's only going to do us good. But if you're not serving him, then he has to. He's a good father. He's got to send judgment. If we as a people or as a nation, if we're not serving God, he's got to correct us. He's got to send correction, and that's called judgment. But the false prophets were telling people whatever they wanted to hear. They didn't hear from God. They didn't speak his word. And Jeremiah echoes those comments, and in fact, he adds to them in Jeremiah 23, and he says this, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy to you. They make you vain." What happens when people get behind pulpits or on television or radio or whatever means that preachers are preaching to folks? You know, what does it matter? You know, how they do it, they think, or what they're saying. He says the bottom line is they're making you vain. What does that mean? Well, they're making you have an excessively high regard for yourself. They're prophesying lies. They're telling you're okay when maybe you're not okay. They're telling you certain lifestyles, oh, that's okay, yeah, you can do that and still go to heaven. Well, that's a lie. No, you can't. No, you can't. That's not truth. The Holy Spirit will lead us to truth. Remember, our imaginations were created by God. He's given that to us as a gift, but it's supposed to take us to areas of truth, not falsehood. And the false prophets, they're lying to the people, and I think a lot of times we're being lied to today in some areas, and so we have to be careful. He says they're making you vain. They're making you think that you're okay when you're not okay. They're not telling you that sin is sin and that sin will one day be judged. Verse 17, "They still say unto them that despise me, the Lord has said, you're going to have peace. It's going to be okay. Don't worry about it. Don't worry. It's okay. And they say unto everyone that walks after the imagination of his own heart, no evil's going to come upon you. Nothing bad's going to happen to you. You can live any way you want. You can do whatever you want. As long as you prayed a little prayer, as long as you walked an aisle a week ago, a month ago, a year ago, 50 years ago, as long as you did that, you can live any way you want and you're still going to go to heaven. That's not truth. That's a lie. That's a lie. It's got to be an up-to-date walk with Jesus. It's got to be an up-to-date experience with God. You've got to have a prayer time. You've got to have a daily walk with the Lord. Prayer, the Word. You need to be faithful to God's house. All these things are part of our walk with the Lord. But it's got to be up-to-date. You can't walk away from it. You can't do it when you feel like it. And don't do it when you don't feel like it. You got to be consistent. Just as a parent has to be consistent with discipline, with rules, with boundaries, so we have to be consistent on ourselves and follow what the Lord is putting in our hearts to do. In Proverbs 6:18, one of the seven things that the Lord hates is this, a heart that devises wicked imaginations. There's seven things, a list of seven things that God hates in Proverbs. Now, there's a list of 10 that he also doesn't like either. It's called the Ten Commandments, right? And you're supposed to obey those too. And in Jewish law, there's actually 613 rules, commandments. Those are really, really tough. But he says here, there's one of them is a heart that devises wicked imaginations. Again, something false, something perverse, something that is against our knowledge of God. And our imaginations will want to run in those veins sometimes because of things that we allow ourselves to watch, maybe on television or movies, and you can't unsee what you've seen. I want you to think about that, especially parents, young people. You can't unsee something that you've seen. It's in the computer. It's in the computer, and it's not wiped out. You can't wipe it out. In fact, the more vile a thing that you see, it's gonna stick. It's going to come back. It's going to come. The devil's going to make sure that image, that imagination comes back to you. So you have to be careful. He said, I hate a heart, a mind that devises wicked imaginations. Proverbs 12:20 says this, deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil. Remember, God said in Genesis 6:5, the thoughts, the imagination of mankind is only evil all the time. Deceit is in the heart of those that imagine evil. What did Jesus say to the disciples when they wanted to know when the end would come? He said, don't be deceived. Deceit is at the heart of evil imaginations. Deceit is at the heart of sinful thoughts. It's a deception of the enemy. Yeah, you can do that one time. No, it's not going to hurt you. Everybody else is doing it. Why shouldn't you? Everybody else seems to be enjoying that. Why shouldn't you? Why does God put all these rules and regulations on you? Boy, what a bummer. What a God that just doesn't want you having any fun. You know, every rule, every commandment that God places is for our protection. It's for our protection. It really is. God loves us so much that when a commandment is there, there's a reason behind it that's for our protection and for our good. Always. I don't care what commandment you would read. There's a reason for it, and it's to protect me and you from something bad. That's how God is for us. That's how much he loves us. Romans 1:21 tells us this. They became vain in their imaginations. There's that word vain again. They were thinking too much of themselves. They thought, oh, well, you know, I can, you know, I'm not a bad person. I'm really a good person. I don't steal. I don't lie. I don't cheat. I'm not hurting anybody by what I'm doing. It's, you know, blah, blah, blah. We can just reason away whatever we're doing if we choose to as humans. But they became vain, he says in Romans 1, in their imaginations. And their foolish heart, their foolish mind was darkened. Our imaginations can take us to the light, or our imaginations can take us to the dark side. There's only one of two places where we're all going to spend eternity. It's either in heaven or it's going to be hell. There's no middle ground. There's no purgatory. There's no, you know, this is a pretty good place in between. Not quite as hot as hell. Not quite as great as heaven. You know, it's not the Motel 6. You know what I'm saying? It's, you know, it's okay, but I wouldn't want to stay there forever. But the imagination, guys, they became vain in their imaginations. That's what's happening in the world around us today. They're vain in their thinking. Their imaginations are going towards garbage all the time. And their foolish mind is being darkened. It's being darkened. Rather than getting better and better, lighter and lighter, no, it's getting darker. It's getting worse. Professing themselves to be wise. There's the vanity part even in that statement. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That's such a horrible statement in my mind. They think that they're wise, but yet actually they're becoming more foolish by the day because of vain imaginations, because of evil imaginations. In spite of all this that we've talked about today, a lot of negative, let's flip it. In spite of all this, Jeremiah, the same one that was, you know, kind of getting negative with us a while ago about stuff, he gives us this ray of hope in chapter 3, verse 17. He prophesies that in the last days, neither shall they walk anymore after the imagination of their evil heart or mind. There's coming a day when the nation of Israel, there's coming a day when those of us that really love Jesus and are serving him with all of our heart, there's going to come a time when no more are we going to walk after the imagination of an evil heart. We're just not going to do it. God's going to help us. God's going to help us to be an overcomer, and we're going to really take control of our imaginations. And we're getting to that here in just a moment. Paul gives us also another encouraging word in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He says in verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, which we do not war after the flesh. If you're leaning on yourself, your flesh, your own ability, your own power, you're going to be in trouble, and so would I. We're not supposed to war after the flesh. Why? For the weapons of our warfare, those of us that know Jesus, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not man-made. They're not of this world. But they're mighty through God. Remember we said earlier, it's His power, not ours, that we're supposed to live by. The weapons of warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I don't care what stronghold you may have in your life this morning. It could be a stronghold of fear or worry or doubt or unbelief. It could be a stronghold of immorality. It could be a stronghold of whatever is your stronghold. I don't know what it might be, but the power of God, our weapons, mighty through God to the pulling down of any stronghold in your life. You may be bound to pornography. I don't know what you're bound to this morning, but God can break the yoke in your life. He can break the chain by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's His power. The weapon is mighty through God, and it will pull down any stronghold in our lives. And I love verse 5. Well, how do you do it? Casting down imaginations. Casting down the dark imaginations, the evil imaginations, the imaginations that run contrary to the Word of God, the imaginations that are, as he says here, every high thing that exalts itself against your knowledge of God. If what you're thinking, you know, oh, that's not God, that's not right. I know the Bible says this, I shouldn't be thinking that, that's wrong. That's evil, that's not what would please God. Casting down imaginations and everything that you know is against your knowledge of Him, cast it down and bring into captivity every thought, every intent, every motive, every imagination to the obedience of Christ. Just obey Jesus. We had one rule for our youth group, for every youth group we've ever had. Don't be an idiot. If you're about to do something and you think, would people think I'm an idiot if I did this? If the answer is yes, don't do it. Don't be an idiot. Don't be an idiot. And so it's kind of like, you know, this right here. Just bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And so ask the question, well, if I did this, would I disobey Jesus? And if the answer is yes, don't do it. Stop thinking in that realm. Don't imagine anything else about it. Don't dress it up in your mind to where, oh, that sounds even better and better the more I think about it. But if it's ungodly, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do it. Because before an action becomes an action, it's a thought. It's a thought. And so if you take charge of your thoughts, then you've already got control of your actions. Because if you've thought it through already, you know what's right, you know what's wrong, and what are you going to choose? Choose the right. Choose the good. Don't choose the bad. Choose the clean. Don't choose the unclean. Do what's right. Do right. Fear nothing. Amen? Always tell the truth, and you don't have to wonder, what did you say? Did I tell this person that, or did I tell that person that? Just tell the truth. I told someone this morning, just be you. But be the right you, be the good you, be the Jesus you. Don't be the devil you, don't be the evil you, you know? Don't be the carnal you, be the spiritual man or woman that God wants you to be and become. This is good stuff, guys, it really is. David gives us some great advice in 2 Chronicles 28:9. He says, "For the Lord searches all hearts, all minds, and He understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. If you seek Him, He'll be found by you." If you want God, God already wants you. How do you know that? He let Jesus die on the cross for you. He's already proven His love for us in that while we were still sinners, He let Jesus die for us. God gave heaven's best for me and you. God bankrupted heaven for the human race, that everybody could go to heaven. And yet, Jesus Himself tells us that the vast majority of people are not choosing heaven. They're choosing to go to hell. Now, would people really do that? Okay, here's a picture. Let's use our imagination. Here's a picture of heaven. Streets of gold, walls of jasper, gates of pearl, beautiful. Don't need a sun because Jesus is the light. You know, all this stuff, good stuff. No more tears, no more crying, no more dying, no more whatever. And then here's hell. And you got people screaming, and you got the devil down there, and he's the enemy of your soul. He's the one that's been stealing and robbing from you all your life. You've got flames. It's going to burn, the Bible says, forever and ever. The worm never dies. The fire is never quenched. It's a horrible place. And yet people are choosing to go there rather than here. Why? Because they've been deceived. They're not thinking it through. They've allowed deceit to come in. They've been deceived. Jesus said, "Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting." And how many find it? Can somebody say how many find it? Few. Few there be that find it. Jesus said the vast majority of people are going to hell. God's not sending them there. Do you know that God will never send anybody to hell? People are right. Oh, God's not going to send me to hell. No, he won't. You're going to send yourself there. You're going to send yourself there. God's not sending you there. He made a way for you to go to heaven. All of us, every person that's ever lived, that's living now, or that ever will be born, God's got room in heaven for every human being that ever lived or ever will live. But this is where people are choosing to go. And so we've got to get control of our thoughts. We've got to get control of our imaginations and do what's right. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. I don't know about you, but I want to be one of the few. I want to be one of the few. And why? It's only because of Jesus. No way could I earn a place here. No way in a million lifetimes could I deserve to go there on my own. That's why Jesus came, to give his life, that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. If you seek him, he'll be found. If you seek him with all your heart. So this morning, another question. What do you imagine? What do you imagine? When nobody's around, when you first wake up in the morning, what's the first train of thought that fills your mind? When you lay down at night, what's the last things you're thinking about as you go to bed, as you drift off to sleep at night? What are you imagining? What are your dreams? What are your goals? What's your vision for your life? What do you think God's dreams and goals and visions are for your life? What do you imagine this morning? Try to imagine this from the pen of Chris Tigreen. He says, "The same feet that walked the dusty roads of Galilee are walking with you on this day in the 21st century." Imagine this now with me. Every day of our lives, Jesus is walking with us. And if you've received him as your Savior, the Holy Spirit is living in you. The third person of the Trinity, the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us as Christians. He's walking with you. The same Spirit, Holy Spirit, who hovered over the deep at the foundation of the world is breathing into you right now. The Father is looking into every corner of your mind at this very moment, and he's not discouraged about you. Jesus is sitting next to you, if you know him as Savior. He's sitting next to you with love in his heart and a smile on his face. The Holy Spirit is hovering over you and welling up within you. You're accompanied by the divine three in one. And he, Jesus, the Holy Spirit as well, will be with you in anything that you face today. I don't care what comes later today. I don't care what comes tomorrow, all the tomorrows we have left on this planet. The Holy Spirit and Jesus himself are with you in anything you're going to face. The Eternal One inhabits every passing moment of your life. Think about these things. Let these things sink into your mind. Let this sink in this morning. Picture the Jesus of the Gospels by your side wherever you go. Take a few deep breaths and envision the Spirit rushing in and then pouring out of you. Know that you are surrounded by the Father's love. God called his Son Emmanuel for a reason. His desire is to be with you. Emmanuel, God with us. God for us. God in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not against you, not observing you from a distance, not just with people in general or theoretically omnipresent all over the planet, not just in the big picture of your life, but right now in the very details that you're grappling with when you walk in these doors this morning. The things that have been troubling you, the things that have been worrying you, the things that have been causing you fear, the things that have been, you've been afraid, oh, if somebody finds this out, oh, if they only knew what I really thought, if they only knew some things I've done, oh, they wouldn't love me, they wouldn't like me. Imagine these things. But it's not just in the big picture of your life, but God is with you in all those details. He's with you in every single way, in every single place we go, every word we speak, every thought we think. He's with us. He's with us. And in spite of the junk of our lives, He still loves us. And this morning, He's drawing us to Himself. And He's doing that by saying, I want you to get control of your thoughts and of your imaginations. And I want you to begin to dream with me what your life can be like by following Jesus. Let's pray. Just imagine that.